Well, the familiar sound of a train diesel engine ticking over suggests I'm back in the station, and that's exactly where I am, Hull Station. It's Easter Saturday, and I'm heading to Manchester Airport to stay overnight at the airport Radisson Hotel, and then I'm going tomorrow to Riyadh in Saudi Arabia. I'll be leaving there on Wednesday night, or at least early, very early on Thursday morning, and coming back to the UK. I'm there to attend and give a workshop, a masterclass, and a keynote at a health conference at King Saud bin Abdul Aziz University. I've never been there before, so it'll be interesting. It's a pity to be away from my family at Easter, I have to say. Everybody's gathering at home tomorrow, and I'm going to miss that. And I'm going to miss the day off at home on Easter Monday. But I'm sure there'll be some rewards in this. I'm sure we'll get something out of it, so we'll see. Probably tell from my voice I'm not as enthusiastic as I normally am about travelling. Certainly not that enthusiastic about having to connect from Manchester down to Heathrow with British Airways, because that often goes wrong. I also don't have my boarding passes yet. I checked in, but they wouldn't let me print them off. I don't know why that was. Maybe they want to check my visa tomorrow before I go. Again, we'll find out when we get to the station. But I won't be comfortable until I'm on the flight to Riyadh. It's only then I'll actually know that I'm heading there and going there. And I'm really looking forward to getting back.
This train is from Manchester Piccadilly and will be calling at Rough, Selby, Leeds, Dewsbury, Huddersfield, Stanley Bridge and Manchester Piccadilly.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, if we could have your attention, please. We are operating a completely full service to London this morning, so we would ask for your assistance with hand baggage. If we could remind all customers that your second piece of hand luggage, that's the smaller item, ladies' handbags, duty-free purchases, small rucksacks, laptop bags, and all bags with a yellow tag, these must be placed underneath the seats in front of you, leaving room in the overhead lockers for any larger bags. Any customers travelling with a coat this morning, you'll find a coat hook located in between the seats in front of you. I ask you to please hang any coats here, once again, to free up space in the overhead lockers for the larger bags. So one final time, ladies and gentlemen, one item of hand luggage in the overhead locker per person. Any multiple pieces, these must be placed underneath the seat in front of you. This will help us to ensure an on-time departure and prevent having to offload any bags into the hold.
A very good morning, ladies and gentlemen. A warm welcome on board this British Airways flight to London Heathrow, Terminal 5. This is a code-share flight with our One World Alliance partners, American Airlines. To help us get away on time, please ensure that your hand baggage is safely put away. Smaller bags tagged with a yellow label should be placed underneath the seat in front of you. All larger bags should be put into the overhead lockers. If you're sitting in a front row seat or an emergency exit row, the floor area must be completely clear for takeoff. Once your hand baggage is safely stored, please make yourselves comfortable and keep the aisles clear for remaining customers to board. We're pleased to let you know that portable electronic devices may be used during the flight, as long as they are in the flight safe mode. You may use your handheld devices such as mobile phones, tablets and e-readers during takeoff and landing. You may also use your personal headphones at these times. Larger items, including laptops, must be switched off and stored away safely. If you have any questions, then please ask a member of your cabin crew. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to London Heathrow, Terminal 5. Please remain seated with your seatbelt securely fastened until the seatbelt signs have been switched off. You may now make and receive calls as well as use all data services on your handheld electronic devices.
Boarding is complete.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is the captain. My name is Steve Coughlin. On behalf of the entire crew, I'd like to welcome you on board. Just make sure you're on board the service to Riyadh. here in the flight deck is Senior First Officer Chris Parsons. I'm in charge of cabin services, cabin service director Paul Timms.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Riyadh. The local time here is 3:50 in the evening. Please remain seated with your seatbelt fastened until the fasten seatbelt signs have been switched off. You may now make and receive calls as well as use all data services on your handheld electronic devices. When it's safe to leave your seats, take care when opening the overhead lockers as items may have moved and could fall out and cause injury. Before leaving the aircraft, please make sure you have all your personal items with you and remember that smoking is not permitted inside the terminal building. From all of us at British Airways, our co-chair partners and the One World Alliance, we'd like to welcome home our customers who live here in Saudi Arabia. We wish those of you visiting an enjoyable stay, and if you're travelling further afield, may we wish you a pleasant onward journey. It's been our pleasure to look after you today, and we very much look forward to welcoming you back on board again very soon. May we wish you all.
It's just after midnight, so it's the 28th of March 2016. It's now Monday and I'm in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia. Had a good flight across. Complete farce at the airport. I got directed into the returning visas queue, even though my visa was a new one because my passport was new. And when I got to the actual desk, of course I got sent to another desk. And then I got whipped out by two men in Arabic dress, wondering what on earth was happening to me. And in fact, they thought I was some VIP, so they were ready to take me through the fast track and get me out of the airport. They kept asking for my passport and handing it back to me and asking for it again. I kept saying, "Are you from the King Saud bin Abdulaziz University?" They just sort of nodded and looked at me, and they escorted me to security and, brushing everyone aside, got me outside, had one more look at my passport and then asked about my contact details in Riyadh. I showed them the contact details and they walked away, so clearly I was the wrong person. So then that was me abandoned outside the border area, outside the customs and outside the security area that you've got to go through before you are allowed to enter the airport and be picked up. So there was no one waiting to collect me. So then I had a number, phoned somebody, and I'd actually walked past the person who was supposed to collect me, or I'd been marched past them by these two men. So I still got absolutely no idea who I was supposed to be, but I've made it safely to the Marriott in Riyadh. No idea what time I'm being picked up tomorrow, but I'm waking up at 6:30, and then we'll see what happens from there. I've got a 5-hour writing for publication workshop tomorrow.
Markets are clean, they used to get very messy.
Okay, so I edit the Journal of Advanced Nursing, which is a sort of a traditional hard copy, though we don't really have hard copy, it's all online, but a traditional volume journal, which you submit your paper to, and you don't have to pay to get published in that journal. I also edit Nursing Open, which is an online, open access, pay-to-publish journal, which is a different model. Although you can pay to publish in this journal too. But just to be clear, you don't pay to get published, you pay to have your paper processed. The editing and the paying are completely different.
Unlike that's one of the things I wanted to ask. This fees for application.
Yes, okay.
How ethical they
are. Okay, right, fees. But I'll come back to that. I'll put credit publishing and I'll put fees here. It's linked to that.
Yeah.
You know, so outliers are not a problem. If you ignore an outlier, that's fine. But the thing to do is present the data with the outlier and present it with the outlier. And people can make a judgment for themselves as to the difference. There was a paper withdrawn from the Journal of Clinical Nursing recently, a perfectly good paper from a study which I'd examined the PhD on. It was withdrawn for outliers. As a PhD examiner, I didn't look at the data, I didn't know their outliers, but a statistician found it afterwards. They withdrew it willingly, they said okay. But what they should have done is done both, you know, and they would have been okay. Conflicts of interest, this is a long list, but you've got to, if we don't have time to go into it, I'll stop in a couple of minutes so we've got time for discussion, but a conflict of interest is anything which may make someone suspect that you're
involvement in a paper wasn't honest or was bent in some way. So if you're receiving any money for instance, I'm here this week, you've flown me across nice flights, nice hotel, and I think I'm getting paid for it, you know, all that sort of thing. I'm just being facetious. But, you know, if I went back to the UK now and there were 50 papers in the Journal of Advanced Nursing, you know, that sort of thing, or I was co-authoring 50 papers, you would say, wait a minute, you know, so that's not going to happen. You know, so, you know, that would be a conflict of interest.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is if I came back from here and published one paper with you, or you published a paper in the Journal of Advanced Nursing resulting from something I've done during this visit, that should be declared.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a visiting professor at King Saud University. Anything that comes out of there while I'm a visiting professor in my journal has to be declared.
Okay.
Yeah, we're ready, huh?
We're ready. So we'll go for a tour now.
Okay.
They're saying.
I know what they're saying.
You know
what
the
alien is here.
So I know what black people in the States must have felt now. So now it's nearly midnight on the 28th, the same day as I started this entry, and you'll have gathered that I made it to the college and did a workshop on writing for publication this morning. The noise you heard in the previous clip was the nursing student helper, or one of the administrators, I don't know quite who it was, who was assigned to us, Filipino lady, walking in front of our group, shouting man present or male present so that the women in the rooms down the corridors could all get themselves covered before I got anywhere near them. I just found it quite bizarre and unnecessary, quite insulting. You heard my comment. I know how black people must have felt in America. Let's hope my American colleagues don't feel annoyed by that. I don't mean to assume that America's not made some progress in this regard, but that's just what it made me feel like. It made me feel like I was different, and it made me feel I was being prejudiced against. I know it isn't that, but it's just a utterly ridiculous way to behave, for which I have absolutely no sympathy whatsoever. One woman appeared out of a room with her hair uncovered and screamed and ran back in, presumably to cover it. And I know I was supposed to be at one particular meeting, and there was a long, well, I can describe as a kerfuffle with my helper standing at the end of the corridor with nothing happening, and it doesn't take them seconds to get their heads covered. But clearly I was then not welcome. They obviously didn't know I was coming, and that seems to have been a theme of the day, nobody really knowing what's happening. This morning I wasn't given a time for being picked up, so I just made my own mind to get up at 6 o'clock, have my breakfast at 7, and then wait to see what happened. And I duly got a phone call about 7:30, went down, and nobody in the foyer, had no idea who was there. So I asked someone, they said, well, maybe he's outside. So I went outside, there was a minibus sitting outside, didn't know if it was for me or not, but the driver did come up and asked if I was Mr. Roger. So I got on, and there was one of our team, one of our group, a lady sitting on the bus, lady from the USA. She'd been sitting on the bus since 7 o'clock. Another lady was sitting in the foyer, and the man who came in obviously didn't know who she was and didn't bother to go and address or to ask if she was who she might have been. She sat there till about 7:45, and then AFAF police appeared at 8. She'd been told that we were leaving at 8. The other ladies had been told we were leaving at 7. One had been on the bus for a whole hour, and the other one had been sitting in the foyer or the lobby of the hotel since 7. What an utter farce. And apparently being picked up at the airport, I was lucky. I was the lucky one, despite the farce of being missed as I was coming through immigration and having to call the man to come out. The woman behind me, the lady from Jordan who I've met before, I saw him with her photograph, and she only came out a few minutes after me. exactly the same happened. He was looking for her inside and missed her, and she had to stand outside for nearly an hour and a half before anybody appeared. Absolutely disgraceful. So people were getting to their beds about 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning, and then being expected to be up at 6 o'clock. But it was clear on the timetable that the workshop ran from 8 until 5. However, it didn't. That was just to get us there at 8, and we were late. We were a little bit concerned that we were all late for our workshops, but in fact they didn't start till 9 o'clock. Nobody thought to tell us, so I rushed in, got set up, and sat in an empty room for half an hour. So it's been a little bit of a farcical day. I met the man who, one of the men who had initially invited me here, a very, very nice chap with a very cut-glass accent, which was half South African and half British, but he's very much an Arab. I found it very odd. I had to ask him where he came from, and he was asking if I'd managed to fly British Airways, and I said, yep, thank you very much. He said, oh, you just got in before the rules changed. Anyway, Ahmad from King Saud University got in touch, and he turned up with Tahini, who we're going to co-supervise on the external postgraduate supervision programme. His paper has appeared in Proof, so the one that we worked on together, so he's very pleased about that. And we've got some plans for things I'm going to do in April and in May when I'm back again. It's very nice to see him. He's seems a little bit more organised than the others, a very decent sort of chap altogether. I was able to introduce him to Afaf. Then I had dinner with Afaf and the two ladies, Jane, and I've forgotten the name of the other one. It's on my programme, but it's not within reach. One from Case Western in the USA, and the other one, I think, from Alberta in Canada. But she'd also had experience in Qatar. So tomorrow we've made the decision that we're going to be down there at 7:30, whatever phone calls we get or whatever anybody's been told. There was supposed to be a message at reception for us tonight, but there wasn't, of course. And whenever you ask here, is there a message for us about transport tomorrow, you don't get an answer back, yes or no. You get asked, oh, do you want us to get a taxi? No, we want you to tell us has anybody left a message, but of course nobody had. And then I got back to my room, having been phoned in the afternoon telling me I would have to change rooms, but they would get me a suite because of some work going on in the room next to me. I think it's a lie, to be quite honest. I think they want to move somebody else in there, and I'm actually going to check tomorrow just for fun to see if any work has been done in that room. But anyway, they said that would happen tomorrow. I got back to my room tonight, and there was a letter saying they were ready to move me tonight when I got back to my room about 9 o'clock, or maybe 9:30. So fine, I was looking forward to getting to a suite. I thought that might be a bit of fun. And I'm in a room further along the corridor, which is identical to the one I was just in. So I was lied to, because the word suite was used several times in the conversation. Anyway, I don't mind. The room is perfectly adequate. It's a 5-star hotel. Another complete waste of money. I don't actually see why we have to stay in 5-star hotels at all. I would far rather they invested the money elsewhere. So those are all the low points of today. I got some work done today. Got to the gym in the afternoon, did some running on a running machine. If I want to run outside, I'm going to have to get up really, really early, but there's been a terrific amount of dust in there. I think it would be foolish, so I think I'm just going to stick to the running machine. Whether or not there'll be time tomorrow to do this or not, I don't know. We have a conference tomorrow. Could be doing a keynote tomorrow. I predict this won't be the best keynote I've ever done. I'm just not wildly enthusiastic about it, but I'll do my best. And then there's the conference for the rest of the day, and I'm almost certainly expected to hang about. I'm going to try not to, but if my efforts, along with colleagues, to get out today early when it was clear that nothing else was happening or anything to go by, we won't be able to get away. Eventually, two of us today just walked out to the road and hailed a taxi in the searing heat, because they clearly weren't going to organise the transport for us, or they just fobbed us off all afternoon. So, not an untypical experience, I guess, in the Middle East or in Saudi, but it is very, very frustrating. I don't mind any of it, really. I just hate wasting time when I've got work waiting to be done back in my room, and I'm sitting in an office somewhere doing absolutely nothing in a university that I know little about and probably won't be visiting again. So, tomorrow morning, we shall see what happens, and of course, you'll be amongst the first to hear. Excellent. Not up yet. Good. Thank you very much for the introduction, and thank you very much for the invitation to address this conference. I just realised, looking up, how many people there are in the room. It's very impressive. As you'll have picked up, I did my keynote address today. Went a lot better than I thought, actually. I didn't feel I'd really prepared sufficiently for it for some reason, but I usually end up preparing enough. And it almost exactly mirrored Afaf Melissa's talk just before it, so that was very good. It reinforced some of the points that she brought up, so I was very pleased. And it seemed to go down well. This morning was another of these typical Middle Eastern affairs. Our driver hadn't said what time he was picking us up this morning, or no one told us when the transport was coming this morning, and we decided to vote with our feet, as it were, and to be no earlier than 7:30, with the aim of being taken there at 7:45, assuming the driver would be there perhaps about the same time. Well, my colleagues were getting phone calls at 6:30 this morning asking if they were ready to go. That's 2 hours before we were expected to start at the conference. I had been moved to another room, as I said, not the suite I was promised, but nevertheless. But of course the reception hadn't picked this up, so they weren't able to get a hold of me. One of my colleagues did try to call me, but they obviously put her through to the wrong room. Absolutely disgraceful. 6:30, without letting us know what time we were expected to be up. I don't know what time people get up in this country. I know they do get up early to avoid the heat, but some of my colleagues are jet-lagged. They've come from the States. We're not all young people by any means, and we're working hard during the day. So we were very annoyed about that. And we got away at 7:45 and got there in plenty of time. So we've made it absolutely clear tomorrow that we're being picked up at 7:30. Slight compromise with them. So we went to the conference and spent a lot of the time in a special VIP room. It wouldn't be so bad in the VIP room if there weren't all these other people milling around and getting in the way. I listened to some of the presentations. Actually, some of them were very good. There was a doctor giving a presentation which I'd heard most of, I think probably in the same talk a couple of years ago at the Saudi Commission for Health Specialities, but he's very good, very positive about nursing. He made a good impression. But of course we all wanted to just go home after we'd finished at lunchtime, but were we allowed to? No. We had to stay there till the bitter end. Transport was arranged at 3:30 and that's when we left. And it'll be the same tomorrow. So tomorrow we've got to face the prospect of waiting for our transport to go to the airport. That's always stressful. The more they say there will be no problem, the less I believe, I'm afraid. And then we've got to, some of us are actually checked in until Thursday notionally because we're leaving late tomorrow, but one of our party who's going to the airport at 7 is being told to check out and take her bag to the conference. So what she's going to do from about, I think, 2:30 when the conference finishes until 7 o'clock, I've got absolutely no idea. Anyway, I'm feeling fairly confident that I'll get my second visa for next week, and I've just been informed about the details for my third visa for the May visit, and I've just booked a weekend in Jeddah when I'm here for my fortnight. I'll go down on the Thursday night, which is the weekend, come back up on the Sunday night. Not all that cheap, but not very expensive either. I'll sacrifice and fly in economy and book myself into the Crown Plaza Hotel for a couple of nights. Got to the gym today. I think I've overdone it. I should have just had a rest because my leg's very sore again. I'm not so sure that this really is a back problem, as my sports therapist has told me. I've got a distinct feeling there's something pulling in my leg, but nevertheless I did the sensible thing today. As soon as it became sore, I stopped and stretched off and then did some gentle running, but it's a real pain. And I could have gone running outside this morning. I looked out, it looked the usual warm weather. It was clear because it had poured all night, which is great, it takes the dust out of the air, but it had really cooled things down. And when we went out to get the transport today, it was really very pleasant. So I could have maybe got a few hundred yards, if nothing else, in outside this morning. But it won't be possible tomorrow because the temperature and the dust are back to normal. So tomorrow I've got a third session. My colleagues here have probably more experience than I am and a lot tougher at, as Afaf says, pushing things back. Afaf said that she absolutely refused to do anything other than give the presentation that she's... one of my other colleagues refused to do anything other than she'd been asked to do in the presentations, and they agreed. And of course the first day she was here she ended up in a room doing consultations, and I think Afaf just refused to do anything on the third day. I just got asked to do something and I said yes, I'll do it, but they do expect a lot. We do get paid, but I think part of this hanging about and actually giving us things to do is that they've got to do it to justify paying us, and I'm always glad to get paid. Not very much money, but it's always good to get something to ease the expenses, in a sense, because it's, even though you get your airfare paid and all the rest of it, there's always other expenses. We don't get our transport paid in the UK, for example, so my train fare and any the hotel in the UK, that doesn't get covered by the conference, so that comes out of the money I get. But the money isn't the main thing. I'd forfeit it. I would have forfeited it gladly today to get back to the hotel and do some work, because I'm now a little bit behind. So tonight is the gala dinner for the conference. God knows what this will be like. Afaf asked me if there's likely to be some dancing, and I said I can almost certainly guarantee there won't be any dancing. I doubt there'll be any entertainment of any sort. And despite the fact it's called a gala dinner, people don't get dressed up here, because the Arab men always wear the same clothes, and the Arab females, certainly in Saudi, wear the same clothes all the time. And my Western colleagues will have to wear the abaya. Afaf's been trying to push the envelope and ask if she could take it off to give a talk, but she complied and kept it on. I'm just going to go with an open neck shirt. I can't be bothered getting dressed up. Sorry it sounds so miserable, but all I want to do from this particular visit is to get back home. I'm quite looking forward now to my fortnight here. That's just a little bit more bearable, because Ahmad's more organised and we've got things to do. But I have to say, this particular conference, while the actual conference when you get there has been well organised, the peripheral things around it have just been a complete disaster. It's now Wednesday, the 30th of March 2016. I think I forgot to register yesterday that those events in my keynote were on the Tuesday the 29th of March. Now back at the university, and the conference is just about to begin. As predicted this morning, or as could be expected, despite clearly stating we weren't going to leave the hotel until 7:30, which has got us here in plenty of time for the conference, my colleagues were getting phone calls at 6:30 in the morning from the organisers, trying to get them up and out of bed. And the driver came and berated me while I was having my coffee after breakfast, showing me that he was due to pick us up at 7. So nobody actually had the same time. I'm pretty annoyed about it. My colleagues seem pretty annoyed too, but pretty pointless doing anything about it either, because we're just about to go after the conference is finished today. But the organisation here is just unbelievable.
Please welcome the tour.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Right, well, obviously nothing clears a room like talking about social media strategy. I think 50% of the audience at least are still having coffee, and I know my colleagues are still having coffee through there, but we need to get going. Well, today's over. In other words, the last day here. Everything actually went very well today. I had a meeting with Mustafa, who was one of the people who invited me here to talk about possibly recruiting a master's student, gave my session on social media, which you can also listen to in full, and all transport arrangements went pretty smoothly to get us all either to the airport, in the case of someone who's going off early, and the rest of us, including Afaf, Melisse and myself, back to the hotel. So the plan is now that I'm picked up at 9:30 p.m, taken to the airport. So I'm checked in, just been to the gym, checking off my emails, doing some writing. I'll have some dinner by that time, it should be time to go. I've always got some anxieties until I'm actually sitting in the airport, but we'll see how this goes. The airport is actually remarkably busy at midnight, certainly when I've come back at weekends. It'll be interesting to see how busy it is tonight. So that's the time in Riyadh over. I go to Ireland at the weekend, then Edinburgh, and I'm back here in a week.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to welcome you to London Heathrow, Terminal 5. The local time here is just coming up 6:05 in the morning.
Ladies and gentlemen, from Flight Deck, very good morning, show. Welcome aboard this British Airways Airbus A320 aircraft, your flight to Manchester. My name is Brian Alders, it's my pleasure to be your first officer on this service this morning. On behalf of Captain Graham Buchholz, the entire crew and of course British Airways, welcome on board. We've got everybody on board who's travelling with us this morning. Unfortunately, four passengers didn't quite make it to the gate in time, but their bags did. Obviously, the safety being our first priority in British Airways, those bags have to be located and removed from the aircraft before we all travel. Please say that our ground team are already in the middle of dealing with that. The rear cargo hold has been reopened and researching the bags. We have been told it's not going to take too long, maybe just a couple of minutes behind on the scheduled departure site before we get to go. The flight time up to Manchester is just 35 minutes. We should be up there on schedule. It's a beautiful day for flying. Myself and Captain Buchholz have just come down from Newcastle. Clear skies the length of the country. That continues in Manchester. There's a light northerly breeze there, good visibility. The temperature will be around about 5 or 6 degrees by the time we get there. Very shortly we'll be pushing back, starting the engines and making our way out to the west of the runways here at Heathrow. As we do that, you can be sure to see the demonstration by our customer service manager, Christine Phelps, and the rest of the team in the cabin. Please do give that your full attention. It contains very important information for you all. Even if you have seen it once or twice before, it's a very good idea just to refresh your knowledge. These procedures do change from time to time. This, as with all British Airways services, is very much a non-smoking one. And last but not least, just a reminder about the seatbelt policy.
Ladies and gentlemen, a very warm welcome to Manchester, with the time being 9 o'clock in the morning. We do remind you to remain seated with your seatbelt fastened until the fastened seatbelt signs have been switched off.
Well, that's me back in Hull for a few days.